Project of SoCal 350. The show can be found on all major podcast apps and at ecojusticeradio.org. Executive producer, myself, Jack Eid, co-host Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. But not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel.
Hello and welcome to Life Stamps, stories from here and there. This is your host, Joseph, with my co-host.
This is Tyson again. Welcome to season six, everybody.
Welcome, welcome.
This season, we'll be doing some listener questions. So get your questions in at the bottom on Spotify if you're listening to us through Spotify. Or you can always email us, lifestamps2021@gmail.com, which will always be in the show notes each week. So, yeah, we're going to reserve a little bit of that and a little bit of trivia for our current content. But enough of that. Let's move on to first show of season six.
All right. Yeah, let's move on to the first show of season six, like what Tyson was saying. So today we're going to be talking about, what are we going to be talking about today, Tyson?
So I'm going to talk to people today about Amapiano. It's kind of second wave South African house music. There was a first wave that was called Kwaito. And that I think started like in the early 90s. But now there's a new movement called Amapiano. Some of our listeners are maybe familiar with this genre of music, but if you're not, it's only about a decade old, which makes it a pretty new music genre in the world currently as it stands right now.
A decade old, so it started in the like early 2010s, like around 2014, would you say?
Like 2016 is kind of where my research led me with this. When I was like kind of checking this stuff out and stuff, it's kind of like the mid 2010s was like the first underground of the music scene, if you will. But it didn't really start to get its first like major record label signing until probably about 2016.
So I'm curious, like Amapiano, that sounds, you know, there's literally the word piano in there. Is that what it means? Does it have to do with pianos?
So yeah, the word Ama is technically a Zulu word, and that basically means the or some. So it could mean like some pianos or the piano.
Okay.
And it's funny that they've taken that name because one of the more common elements that you'll have in this music, aside from like the really deep kind of like almost kind of creepy melodic diminished minor sounding bass chords, and stuff that you'll get in house music sometimes, is the lounginess of the piano that just kind of paints the soundscape.
That's really interesting.
Of the music and stuff. And then I'll get a little bit more into that, but there's other compositionary elements of Amapiano that make it unique to, like, you know, typical like UK house music or Euro house music or anything like this. And it's not really like Afro beats either. It's kind of just a fusion of some of these different musical genres coming together, and that's why what you have is Amapiano.
So if I wanted to to distinguish Amapiano, you mentioned the piano part, so what are the other elements of it that make it unique?
So I would say you don't have necessarily the emphasis on your 4/4 beat time. If you know, like, typical house music where you're just like boots and cats and boots and cats or whatever, you know, that can happen, but there is generally, it's not a part of like the standardization of the rhythm points of the, Amapiano. Because the Amapiano can definitely bring in the kind of more of this Afrobeats stuff, like I was saying, you know, where you can have different time signatures and different things with like congos and bongos and different types of rhythm instruments and stuff that'll make their way in, you know, whether those are performed and recorded and then people are looping over it, or whether it's all completely done from the digital software side of things. So, you know, that being said, it's just that it's not really entirely like got that kind of time signature.
Okay, so the time signature is more irregular?
A little bit more irregular, because we're thinking more in terms of like Afrobeats sort of meets house music in a way.
I see.
With an emphasis on piano.
Is it so, like, how do you, so when you're talking about like Afrobeats meets house music, just like what is the process to, you know, create like an Amapiano song? Like, do you, you know, would you start with like the piano coming in and then like the beat
I think I would start with the rhythm first.
You start with the rhythm.
I would definitely start with the rhythm, because that's going to set the vibe of the song, and then everything else, the melodies and the harmonics are the layering that you'll put over top of that. You know, it's hard to say because every creator is different, you know. Like, if you played around with Fruity Loops or GarageBand or something like this,
right,
you may be the type of person who finds like a really great riff on organ or something, right? And then you're like, oh cool, and I'm going to drop the beat to it. But I wouldn't start it that way, because I would find the emphasis so much more about the actual rhythm loop being first, and then, you know, bringing in the vibe from the rhythm, as opposed to trying to make the vibe and then seeing if you can get a rhythm that that meshes. But I know, I mean, this is a kind of a personal taste thing in terms of the way you start your musical canvas, if you will.
Totally Yeah. And then as far as like, I don't know, just like the culture and lifestyle, like how do you think Amapiano sort of like reflects the culture and lifestyle of South Africa? Like, what, why do you think, like, what are some cultural things that sort of shaped the music?
So that's an interesting question. So how do I start with that? So like I was saying, this is kind of second wave house music. There is a first wave of house music called Kwaito. And that became the first like version of African house music, you know, kind of starting in the late 80s, going to the late 90s, almost to the turn of the century, if you will. And then there's also what's called G-Com, which is like a modern Afro house that, like I was saying, breaks away from the 4x4 rhythm patterns. You're going to get this jazz and this lounge element melodies with the emphasis on pianos and organs and stuff as well, you know, talking compositionary. What I also am going to say is you have a lot of different indigenous languages within Southern Africa, not just the country of South Africa, but countries like Zimbabwe, Lesotho, Botswana, what have you. So you're going to get this element of people that want to bring their traditional vocal elements, you know, Botswana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Zulu people, there's other indigenous communities that I can't think of language-wise, possibly Afrikaners, and then even East Africa sometimes is like partnered up and done music with Amapiano artists in South Africa from like Nigeria and Ghana as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So it's basically like a lot of different languages go into the music. So I'm sure that it kind of creates a sort of regional, it helps create sort of a regional identity that brings all these groups together, right? Like what role do you think Amapiano plays in promoting just African identity and pride globally?
A lot like the other African music genres, I would say, for sure. What I find this to be interesting, because it is this sort of bridge of Euro colonization culture, you know, and then what it takes to kind of like make it big in the mainstream music industry as a whole, you know. So, and then big players in within the African continent that I'm aware of that are, that is like the biggest is Nigeria for musical artists and stuff that are coming out, as well as South Africa being a very, very prominent country. So I think what you're also talking about is like not like the continental identity, not necessarily the country identity, but your actual community identity and how that comes into the Amapiano bridge into like Euro house music or anything of that nature, you know what I mean? And, and like it did originally kind of start as Kwaito, but these newer elements are like adding more ingredients to the pot of musical variants, if you will, because you've got this lounge and jazz element parts that come to it. You've got those vocal elements that are coming to it. You know, you've, and then the percussion and the Afro beats, and then you even get gospel sometimes coming through as well. So it kind of really is just a big, huge hodgepodge umbrellaed under a house music sound.
I see. Yeah, no, that's super interesting. So,
and I want to say, many people may think, since we're talking about South Africa, that the whole scene started in maybe Cape Town, because that's a popular South African city, and or Johannesburg. But actually, from my research has led me that the first people that really kind of broke out within the scene are from Pretoria, which is a community really only probably about 30 miles north east of Johannesburg. So it's still kind of central South Africa where it first kind of broke out.
I see. And it sort of, and then it spread throughout the country.
Then it spread out and then throughout globally. The countries, and now you have, you know, you have venues to hear Amapiano and big concerts for Amapiano in Johannesburg.
So are there places like,
along the coast and stuff like that too?
Are there places like outside of South Africa that play this Amapiano music?
Yeah, I mean, I even read that it's become international. Like, there's Korean artists I've heard that are even like starting to dabble in Amapiano and stuff, you know. And, you know, it's becoming kind of this new fusion house music where other countries are realizing it's a house music that broke out, and they were the first one to do it, to kind of like bring this cultural identity into house music in a way, but now other artists from other countries are trying to do it, not as to the scale of South Africa, mind you, but it's becoming popular in that way too.
Well, it's also interesting because not just using the traditional or like the elements that make amapiano what it is, but it would be interesting if it also influenced or inspired artists in other countries to blend traditional sounds from their culture into house music.
Exactly.
And make that a thing. So whether it's like an indigenous, like an instrument that's indigenous to that culture, or, you know, like the adding their own language or something.
Sure.
And that could be like an interesting, you know, I think it adds an interesting twist to just like the typical, you know, house music, like deep bass kind of thing.
Well, and people don't think about it, but if you really close your eyes and listen, you know, because we are speaking about a type of music that's essentially dance music that generally doesn't have a lyricist, right? Typical singer that's telling the story of the song to you. It's more just rhythmic and it's dancing. But if you really can imagine, close your eyes, you can still kind of hear the story of a song, you know. And I'd say amapiano does a good job of this because it's not telling me a story or conveying an emotion, but I can still kind of get elements of how it is doing that.
Right. Can you think of like any possible challenges of this music becoming more mainstream and really breaking into international markets?
Well, it already has broken into international markets. And the funny thing is that it started, they believe, in Pretoria with kids just making music on cracked software. Like they couldn't even like afford the software, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have Cubase, they didn't have GarageBand, they didn't have Fruity Loops, what have you, Ableton Live or something like this. They did not have these programs. They just had a way of acquiring the cracked versions of the software. They're making their music and then they were just sharing the files on WhatsApp or some other thing with their friends. And then it just started spreading around. So it very was an underground movement, you know. And then record labels would not sign these people because they didn't have like any kind of studio presence. So it just had to get bigger and bigger. The underground had to grow.
I see.
For the record labels in South Africa to actually sign some of the first artists.
I see. That's interesting.
And speaking of that, I would probably like to move on and just give you a little bit of bio information about some popular amapiano artists.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I wanted to go look it up, like who are some artists that you'd recommend?
So I got a list. This is not all, but, you know, some important figures within the movement. Is first one would be Major League DJs, and they're just they're twins, and they're a duo of twins that moved to South Africa actually at age 5. I think they
where are they from?
I think they were from Boston. I think they were born in Boston of South African descent, and then they came back home at a very young age, and they first started as like party promoters, you know, for Kwaito parties and stuff. And because they were promoting parties, they were around the industry a lot, and then they just started playing around with the gear and started just kind of making their music and trying their hand at it and stuff. Part of that was out of necessity because their artists would cancel on them for their parties, so then they had to like do something on the fly to, you know, keep people happy.
Right.
The next one is called Focalistic, and he was born in Pretoria. Is a just like a lyricist, amapiano MC. He claims his breakthrough was working with Major League DJs, actually, at one of their parties and stuff. So he was kind of like maybe one of the first, like, you know, MC movement artists of amapiano. When I want to remind everybody that this is only like a 10-year-old music genre.
Right. So all these artists are all going to be new just because the genre is so new.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, a lot of people, or some are even teenagers.
So you can like think about these people as like the OG artists, like the kind of, you know, the originals.
Yeah, if you have like a 30-year-old amapiano artist right now, they're probably like, you know, really hardened in the scene and stuff because it's been like 10 years.
Right.
So Musa Keys was raised in a community called Polokwane, mm-hmm. and is a sound engineer turned artist that also tried to break the norm of amapiano. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing breaking the norm of amapiano means, like, you know, maybe bringing some other unique instruments into it, kind of what you're talking about, the international aspect of mm-hmm. what it could become or something like this.
Right.
And because there's all music, all new music genres eventually start doing this thing where people are like, oh, dude, I really like that. I'm going to try that and do that. And then, you know, mm-hmm. certain things kind of become uniformed in a way, right? So
right.
I'm guessing he's an artist that's always going to try to push the limits and then try new avant-garde experimentation within amapiano.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these artists I'm mentioning too do have YouTube pages, so if you want to check out any videos. Soa Matrix is a double platinum status producer known for the amapiano hit Uthando.
Mm.
And I think with double platinum means is that you've had two records that have like gone over like 10,000 sales or something. Mm-hmm. I think that means you're a platinum artist if you've had 10,000 record sales.
Okay.
Something like this. Lady Du grew up in Vaucluras, east of Joburg. Joburg. Mm-hmm. She's one of the few female artists in amapiano. And she does have like influences in gospel, and so you can get a lot of that vocal R&B kind of element thrown into the amapiano with her renditions and stuff like this. You know, house and R&B and gospel
totally
heavily influenced. And cool that she's being a female artist, you know, contributing to the genre and stuff. You know,
so is it not that? Is it more male dominated?
It's more male dominated right now, currently, and you know, so I think more and more women are going to start becoming sound engineers, producers, and everything. So it's not just a male dominated
mm-hmm.
industry, and falls, you know, to the wayside like other music industries have fallen. You know, in different, I mean, you hear this in any genre of music, really, this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, moving on, we got Mr. Jazzy Q, who comes from Alexandra Township of Johannesburg, so just a township within Johannesburg. And he's got an expression that he's known for. It's called Danko.
Mm-hmm.
And Danko is kind of like the German of how do you say thank you in German again?
Dankeschön.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's his way of like saying he is always thankful and grateful for the opportunity to make the music and stuff. So very much like an uplifter.
I see.
Kind of artist.
Yeah.
Then we got MFR Souls. They're also a duo. They got popular from working with DJ Mafarisa, who's also in a popular duo called the Scorpion Kings. So mm-hmm. if you start researching amapiano, you're going to see DJ Mafarisa and Cabza da Sol everywhere, because they are the Scorpion Kings, and they are considered to be like the kings of amapiano. Like, they go back from the very, very beginning.
I see. Okay.
And stuff. So MFR Souls are like another duo that works with another duo. And then we got DBN Gogo, who's also a female Zulu artist that got popular during the pandemic with her TikTok dance challenges.
Oh, okay.
So I think her deal and her backstory is that she started TikTok dance challenges to amapiano, mm-hmm. and kind of had a bit of a viral moment from there, and then felt kind of like she needed to start actually making her own music
mm-hmm.
to expand on that. So that's kind of like her backstory.
Mm-hmm.
With DBN Gogo.
Mm.
And then the Scorpion Kings, like I mentioned, are kind of considered the kings of amapiano. And that's DJ Mofarisa and Cabza de Small. And then there's one more, and that's Vigro Deep. And he's only 23 years old, from Pretoria. Started making music on an iPad and learned different things, DAWs, very quickly and stuff. So this is kind of like a young kid who just really got his hands on all the software.
I see.
And did a bit of educating as well within the community, teaching other kids how to, you know, make music, you learn the programs,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. A little bit of a software distributor artist, if you will.
yeah. No, that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, so many interesting artists, and I think, yeah, that's given, that helps for people who want to get into Amapiano, or at least listen to it a little bit and see what it's all about. But let's say, like, if you want to go see it live, like, let's say, you know, if I've got a trip planned to South Africa, and I'm going to, I don't know, if I'm going to be in Joburg or Cape Town or Pretoria, you know, like, what are some of the more popular Amapiano venues? And then, you know, what makes them stand out?
Well, so you'll have choices. It's become, because it's about 10 years in the making now. So you've got, you know, kind of like your bigger venue, Vegas style places where you can really hear like a DJ set and some live acts and stuff in like a really big, I don't know how else to describe it, but it'll be like a Vegas terrace with a pool. They even have like swimming pool party, Amapiano parties in these bigger venues. A popular one for that is called Zone 6. And that is in the Soweto Township. Mm-hmm. Of Johannesburg, I believe.
Okay.
And it's completely owned by the DJ and producers, which are called Black Coffee.
Okay.
For, I think, their production company.
I see.
And this place can hold 3,000 people, which is one of the largest Amapiano big venues in the country. Mm. You know, I said, and it's got multiple bars and a swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
So you can definitely picture this like a sort of like the Vegas Venetian for dance music.
Yeah. Just like a massive dance venue.
Yeah.
Music venue.
Yeah.
Like, what's the story behind that? Because it seems like, you know, it's owned by the producer and the artist. Like,
right.
What's like the story behind
the backstory? Yeah. I don't really know, other than maybe it was one of the first producers to like get the nation, South Africa, to recognize the music genre and start the music company. So naturally, there's probably a lot of money that came in on that. Once they're like, oh yeah, we want to recognize this is like our country's music, Amapiano. So I imagine South Africa probably gave them a lot of money if they were one of the first record labels, you know, stamping the wax.
I see.
Of the Amapiano artist. Mm-hmm. So that would be my only guess of where all the money came from.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. But I do know, like, for that company, they're called Black Coffee.
Mm.
So that's pretty interesting. You also have things that are still bigger scale, but kind of community-esque. They've got these like street parties. And there's a location called Disao Fang. That's also in the Soweto Township of Joburg. Okay. It is more like a street block with lounges, pubs, and restaurants, and multiple stages in the different establishments. So kind of how you would imagine like a European party quarter.
I see.
You know, or like, I remember several seasons back, me and you were talking about merengue music in the Dominican Republic, and we were talking about certain districts in Santo Domingo where you would just have like certain restaurants would bring in an act, and like you could just go down a whole street and then there would be a bar and a restaurant or a little mini club or whatever, and you could kind of pop in and out, or kind of like Frenchman Street in New Orleans for the jazz music, if you will. You know what I mean? So this is kind of, Disao Fang is kind of like the Amapiano block party-esque street collection of couple blocks or something.
So that's interesting. Yeah, that paints a really like nice picture. So it sounds like very lively and you know, with lots of stuff going on. Are there any like up and coming Amapiano venues to keep an eye on?
Well, there's something that's in this is at the time of my research. They had three locations. They're called Ayupayup. Yeah, and they've got two locations in Pretoria, and they have one in Cape Town. And it's owned by DJ Somebody. Somebody owns these places by DJ Somebody.
I see.
And they're like it's like a lounge restaurant franchise type of thing. So you can go and get like a bite of food. And then, you know, I guess there's big open space as it's also a dance.
I see.
Party type thing. We've got one more thing. And then before we move on, if you're trying to get very local, ask people about she beans.
She beans?
Yeah.
What are those?
Or local taverns. These are essentially people's garages where they'll sell alcohol out of them and stuff, which is like very neighborhoody and stuff. And then other like musicians that they know in the neighborhood will just kind of play and perform their garage and DJ their garage and stuff like this. And this is where you can get a taste of like newer sounds of Amapiano that are still like in the experimental phase and stuff. You can have kind of like a local neighborhood experience for checking it out.
That's super interesting. All right, well, let's head into our next section.
Yeah, let's take us away, Harvey, see what you got for us in the trivia and comment section.
Okay, now let's move on to trivia and comments. Trivia time. Trivia time, hip hip hooray. Listener comments as well, handled the life stamps way. Today and every day.
Hi, if you're, thank you, Harvey. That was interesting as usual. So if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there. And I'm here with Tyson, and my name is Joseph. And we are talking about Amapiano today, which is a style of house music out of South Africa. And now we are moving into a listener comments and trivia section. So, Tyson, do we have any comments today?
Well, we do, but at first I'm going to quiz your brain and see how much you were listening and ask you some trivia questions first about Amapiano.
All right.
You may know some of these, may not.
I'm nervous.
Okay. So, and if you're kind of right, you get a half point.
Okay.
Amapiano is a South African musical response to what local factor?
What local factor?
Yeah.
Did we talk about this?
A little bit.
Does it have to do with Kwaito?
No, it does not.
It's local, like uniting different cultures?
No.
I give up. What is it?
That independent artists could not get signed on a record label because the first Amapiano was completely underground and distributed among people, various artists and stuff, until it eventually broke out. So it's a musical response.
Got it. The fact
that you couldn't just be like, here, I got this new sound, will you sign me? People are like, no, it doesn't already have a convention.
Okay, so they're just like, okay, well, we're just going to make music then and not worry about it.
Yeah, until somebody signs us eventually. So
I see.
You know, and that, there you go.
Okay. Cool, so I'm 0 for 1?
You're 0 for 1. It's all right. You know, it's not about the score. It's about the trivia. What does the global growth of Amapiano tell us about the world?
That the world likes the music.
That's half right. I'm giving you half a point. Are you sticking with it? You still have a chance to win a full point.
I think that, you know, that it's a type of music that is accessible, that that can relate to it can be accessible on an international scale, and it also shows that people maybe are ready to listen to something new, something different.
Okay, very good. I'm giving you a full point because that's pretty much my answer, is that all undergrounds are possible of breaking out.
All undergrounds are possible of breaking out.
And you said that in a very eloquent way as well, so I'm giving you the point.
Well, thank you. Trying my best.
All right, 1 for 1, Joseph.
No,
well
one,
done.
One for two. Because I got the first one wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. One for one and one.
One and one. Oh, I see.
I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. Your score is 1 and 1.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than South Africa, where do people think Amapiano began?
This is me meditating.
And there's multiple correct answers, but if you give me something.
Other than South Africa, where did people think Amapiano began? So is it a different country?
Yes.
Then? Okay. Like Lesotho?
Okay. I'll give you that, but that's not.
Botswana?
the prime answer. Actually, I'm giving you half a point.
Okay.
Just because I'm being a little stingy today.
Okay.
I was looking for Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next question. You're 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Other than being influenced from Kwaito, what other local music is fused into Amapiano?
Local music?
Local music. And I don't expect you to get this.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about that. We talked about like languages and stuff. But
yeah.
Afro beats.
Right. When I was talking about different indigenous languages in the beginning of the show, I didn't mention any of these because I completely skipped it and I couldn't find them in my notes.
Log drum bass lines?
No.
Soul?
No, it's...
Deep house?
No. Other local music that is kind of indigenous locally?
Afro piano?
No.
Bike?
No. You wouldn't know these.
Bongo piano?
These are different... folk African musics.
New Age Bacardi.
More. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, tell me.
Instead of just
saying stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so you're trying to research on the fly. Cheater. No Google allowed anyways.
No, I already have this page pulled up. So.
Yeah. You're trying to cheat. But you don't. Cheating is only going to get you so far, as you can see, because now you've hit the roadblock.
All right.
And it's me. Marahi.
Marahi. Oh, yeah. I was not going to say that.
Marahi.
Mm-hmm.
Kwela,
mm-hmm.
and Embaganga.
That's three
different
genres.
Yeah, okay. That is fused into Amapiano, other than the Kwaito and the house music.
Okay,
but these like tribal folk music.
Yeah, that was kind of a trick question because we never talked about that.
But I know. And then I
deserve a point just because I was trying my best.
I'm just going to ask you. I know we didn't talk about all this stuff, but these are my trivia questions.
Okay, what's the next one?
You can just guess. What are some Amapiano dance moves?
So there's that one where you kind of like shake your arms.
No, that's that happens in a lot of music. I'm thinking need to be more specific.
And then one where you kind of like shake your hips a little bit while you're shaking your arms.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's that one move where you kick your right leg out and then you kick your left leg out.
That's a can-can, and no, that is not a dance move for Amapiano.
And then you put your right leg in. And then
what I'm looking for, Joseph, you're
and
you're
then you turn it all around.
You have no sense of rhythm here. what I'm looking for is quick step moves,
uh-huh.
kind of like a break dancer before they get ready to like roll on the ground and spin on their back and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And body popping. You know, pop and lock in, like you see people popping mm-hmm. their body and stuff and mm-hmm. getting ready to break dance mm-hmm. to some extent. That's an example of some dancing.
Nice.
For Amapiano.
Sounds very energetic.
Yep. Oh, so we had talked about other countries that are like creating their own type of Amapiano influence, obviously started from the original South Africa. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the major countries across the world that is recognizing Amapiano and actually partaking and enjoying the music?
Ooh.
Other than South Africa, of course.
Other countries around the world. Is Nigeria? Would that be one?
Sure.
How about Germany?
You got it.
Sweden?
No, I didn't really get that one. The Scandinavian house aficionados, I haven't really picked up anything about them. Like
I think we
jumping on the Amapiano.
We also talked about South Korea.
We could say that for sure. Yeah, because there's some artists that are influenced in making music.
USA?
Yes.
UK?
That's right.
Trying to think of places where house music is. What about France?
I didn't get that one either. I don't know why the French haven't really jumped on the movement yet.
What about Canada?
That is correct.
Mexico?
No. Cool. I only got one more country that I wrote down, by the way. So.
Oh, okay. Australia?
No, not that. My research didn't.
What continent is it on?
Europe.
Europe? Spain?
Nope.
Greece?
Nope.
Czech Republic?
Nope.
Austria?
No. We love our canals.
Oh, it's okay. The Netherlands.
There you go. Anyways, yeah. So that's, you know, pretty.
What do I get? Like 1 point.
Getting pretty popular.
0.8 points for that one.
We will say it's getting pretty popular in the Americas, and it's getting pretty popular within Europe.
I see.
And I think that's pretty remarkable for only a decade old music genre.
Was Nigeria on the list that you had, or?
Of course, Nigeria is on the list. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's. You know,
were you trying to think of like outside of Africa where is it popular? Is that what you wanted?
Essentially, yes, because you know, I think a lot of African nations are familiar with Amapiano, just you know, being from the same continent or whatever, you know, kind of like, you know, we're familiar with Creole Zydeco music from Louisiana, for example, but I don't expect somebody in Poland to even know what that is.
Totally.
You know, so that's where you've gone global.
Okay.
After you've left the continent.
All right. Any more questions?
Yeah.
How many points do I get? Like 0.8?
Oh, I'm just going to say.
0.75?
I'm giving you a 60%.
60%, so 0.6 points.
I think you got a D. So you still got a chance to redeem yourself. You get the next two correct.
I don't even know how many points I have right now. Like 2.1
I'm not keeping score.
3.1?
I'm not keeping score.
Okay. What's the next one?
You're not a very competitive trivia participant.
No, my trivia group is literally called the Champions of Mediocrity. So
nobody keeps score?
Well, we just always shoot for like fifth place.
Oh, okay. So, well, there you go.
60% is good.
Yeah, it's the little goals in life.
Exactly, exactly.
You say your expectations too high, you're going to fall off a cliff. You
don't want to do that. It's shocking when we win. We are shocked and disappointed.
You guys could call yourselves the shocking turnaround.
The shocking turnaround.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the next question?
Is Amapiano secular music, meaning is it non-religious?
I could see how it could be, like, if it's tied to certain traditional music, it could be religious or spiritual in some way, but I could also see it being secular, so to make it, like, more accessible. But I'm going to go with secular.
No, it is not.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Figured it was a trick question, but you know.
Yeah. Recently, there are faith-based congregations that are fusing gospel and
you mentioned
piano.
That. Yeah, gospel.
So, yeah, so you are, and that being said, not all Amapiano is religious music, but there's no saying that, like, you know, keep the religion out of this music.
So is it religious in the sense of like Christian religion?
Potentially. I imagine if there are performers that come from, you know, Christian gospel, then and they're making Amapiano, I think so.
Interesting.
But I will say then there's probably people that are just completely hedonistic as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
And here's another one you're not going to know the answer to.
Uh-huh. Maybe I do.
Maybe you do, but I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Who is the queen of Amapiano?
Isn't there an artist that was queen something?
Nope. I did go down a list of artists, but I did not mention her on my list.
I'm not even going to try to guess.
But I will tell you, because it's quite interesting. Her name is Shasha, and not from South Africa, but she comes from Zimbabwe.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. And that's where there is this debate, whether Amapiano music actually did start in Pretoria or whether it started in Zimbabwe.
I see. That's interesting. So it could, or yeah. There's just some debate. It's interesting, like origin stories for things sometimes, because it's like there's like maybe the place that got popular and there's a place that maybe it started at.
Right, know? Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, so. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's always people say something started here, but, you know, like, I mean, I can think of tons of examples of folklore around the world where that has happened, or, you know, in artists or music movements as well, you know, but I find it to be, I find that little tidbit interesting because it also kind of shows to me how there is like sort of like a Zimbabwean amapiano, and there's like a South African amapiano, and I think at times they join forces and, you know, stuff like this as well. So
I want to ask you something.
Please do.
Which song became the first song by a South African soloist to enter the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in 55 years? And it was also a top 10 hit in the United Kingdom, Ireland, Australia,
what year?
The Netherlands, Sweden, and New Zealand, where it reached number one.
What year did it drop?
2023.
Oh, that's the first South African artist that ever...
to enter the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in 55 years.
Oh, there hasn't been somebody for 55 years,
yeah.
Ooh.
And it was a top 10 hit in the UK, Ireland, Australia, the Netherlands, Sweden, and New Zealand.
No, I was going to say Gangnam Style.
But that's a South Korean song.
Yeah. So I'm very far. I got the South right.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's about it.
So the song is called Water.
Okay.
And it's by the artist Tyla.
Tyla. Okay. Uh-huh. From what city?
Tyla is a South African singer.
Johannesburg or Pretoria?
Yeah, she's from Johannesburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for also stumping me. But I, you know, it happens. No, we don't all have knowledge.
It is what it is.
And then speaking of knowledge that me and Joseph may or may not have, mm-hmm. Now we're opening this section up for listener questions. And like I said at the top of the episode, you'll see at the bottom of the episode on Spotify a comments little box. You just fill it out with any questions you have from us, and then we'll try to read them off towards the end of the show. So listen to the end of the show every week, and we'll answer your comments and questions and keep them coming in. And if you're on the radio, not using Spotify, or you just want to email us, that would be lifestamps2021@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So starting with our first question today, Joseph, we've got Maxwell Ortega from Trenton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, "Hey, Tyson and Joseph, I recently went through a breakup. Which places would you recommend traveling to heal the broken heart and find a new experience to get my mind off of the pain?"
To heal a broken heart and get your experiences off of your mind and pain. I feel like it depends on what your preferences are, whether you want something more like urban or something more in the wilderness. I think if you want to really just like get away from civilization and really just take in breathtaking beauty and everything, I would recommend going to Patagonia.
Patagonia would be a great place to detach and just to reset.
Yeah,
and
just, everything. It's like one physically feels like it's, you know, it'll feel much more remote than, you know, what you're used to, where you're used to going. It just has so many like breathtaking views. Like you'll be physically far away from your heartbreak, and you'll also be, you know, you'll have so many new things to take in that you'll just be, you know, too distracted.
See, it's an interesting question though, right, Joseph? Because mm-hmm. I have to think in terms of what was it that you didn't like about your relationship?
Right.
If your relationship was like your other person was always like the social butterfly, so we always got to go out and hang out with my friends and everything, and then you have this breakup, you're probably just like, yeah, I want to go to someplace very remote.
Right.
Because so much of my relationship was about being with others.
Right.
But then again, if you were with somebody who never wanted to be very social,
mm-hmm.
and that was a problem in the relationship, and then you broke up, then
maybe you felt like you couldn't go out or you couldn't really enjoy life.
Right.
Maybe
so
felt
you're
very
like
restrictive.
You're like, I want to go to Tokyo now,
yeah,
and just try to talk to as many people as possible.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm like, I miss so many years of that.
For like,
whatever,
yeah,
you know.
So I was gonna say for the opposite experience, if you wanted to just like go out and have fun and just, you know, have a good time, I was going to suggest, you know, maybe like Berlin or maybe like any big city that has like a large sort of entertainment aspect to it. Tokyo could be fun because one, it's like also very different culture,
It
has lots of like exciting and new different things to see. Seoul Korea is also a fun city. If you want to be in, any kind of like big city that has this sort of like, that has a fun side to it.
And
Mexico City could be fun as well.
Sorry, Max, well, about the breakup, but I'm hoping you'll figure it out and, wishing you the best of luck and, whatever the next chapter unfolds for you and stuff. And I do hope that you find what you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Anything else?
Yeah, I've got a few more here. The next question comes from, let me see if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Anna Pokolska from Warsaw, Poland.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, "Hey guys, I am an architect with a degree in biosustainability. I really liked your show on Guatemala eco-travel. My question is this. I'm now retired and would love to build a green hostel. Where in the world would you suggest I look?"
She'd love to
build a
green hostel?
Yeah, like a biosustainable hostel.
This is really interesting.
A renewable energy.
Yeah.
Property for travelers and guests.
It's really interesting because it's just like the culture of backpacking and where you find stuff like that, because I feel like a lot of times that there's this intersection between backpacking and more like eco-friendly living, which I always feel like is a little ironic because you literally fly to that country to do like eco-friendly travel, but it's like
there's 25% less CO2
emission
option flights,
yeah,
which I don't think is a big offset in the grand scheme of
right
the planet,
but still like the fact that like that travel, it's, I always think that's kind of funny because when I was younger, I travel like, oh, that's cool, it's eco-friendly and all this stuff, and then like the older I got, I'm like, but you're like, when you fly, the amount of emissions kind of cancels out any sort of, not saying that you shouldn't, of course you should always like support eco-friendly travel and people who are trying to be better to, better stewards of the environment.
I'm going to push back on that for a minute though. What you're iterating at, because I think for some people it's a pride, it's a survivalist thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can learn how to live off the grid and create sustainable living practices,
mm-hmm.
It's not all just about saving the planet. It's just about a confidence that one gains because they can learn how to build like an earth ship like they do in New Mexico, for example,
mm-hmm.
or something like this. And I think that's kind of the question is like, I think if I understand the question correctly, which countries would have some of the better regulations or something in terms of embracing this type of project?
I mean, and that's the thing, is like, that's a hard question to answer because I'm not familiar with, regulations around the world. But I think I would look into a place that, one, maybe doesn't have strict regulations, so you're able to have a little more freedom with the way that you, build. Or you can look into countries that have strong like programs to support that or a culture to support that. So if they, because if you have a local knowledge base that knows how to do that already, then you can tap into that and learn from it.
Yeah. And she being an architect, so I imagine she's already thought about lots of renewable materials and stuff. And maybe some of these questions are more about the, the building laws or, how you get a building patented,
and
approved as like a green building.
I would look I would look at places like in Southeast Asia, like Thailand, because Thailand has such a strong backpacking culture. So I'm sure you can find a lot of like those sort of eco-friendly type
Singapore, maybe hostels. Because
Singapore, not so much because it's so urbanized,
but they have a lot of green projects, right? Doesn't Singapore have some
of
them?
I guess they have like a lot of green projects for sure.
I think they may have more floating gardens per capita of any urban corridor.
I wouldn't suggest going to Singapore to open a hostel because that would probably be very expensive and the regulations would probably be stricter.
Correct.
But I think the going there to learn, I think would be a good, going to places that have these sort of like strong eco-friendly practices, Interesting to learn. I would also suggest maybe places in South America like Peru,
right.
Bolivia, Ecuador come to mind as places that might have more of these eco-friendly travel options.
Right. I guess the other thing to consider would be what type of renewable energy source you're working with, whether it's going to be rainwater or solar or mm-hmm. wind as well, you know, would probably make a lot of defining decisions in terms of how you're conducting your own electricity for the property.
Totally.
So
I have a question here from an unknown user.
Okay.
They didn't put a name or where they're from. But they asked, what's the most delicious local dish you've tried while traveling and where did you have it?
Now I'm just speaking on that spontaneously right now, and it's kind of funny. And I think it's just because the mushrooms are so good in Eastern Europe. I mean, they have these chanterelles, these porcinis. They have these delicious harvested mushrooms. Mm-hmm. But I was in Romania. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I was on the Transylvania Highway. So I was either in Brasov or Sibiu. I just get the two mixed up because mm-hmm. They're smaller little Transylvanian villages. And we went to this one kind of like restaurant, tavern in place with some of the people I was traveling with from the hostel, and I was like kind of burned out on the Romanian food, and I noticed that they had Russian stroganoff. And so I was like, give me the stroganoff, you know, like this sounds really good. It was kind of like a colder grade day in Transylvania and stuff, and oh man,
yeah,
that was next level. Any American version of a stroganoff I've ever had was nothing. And it was all about those mushrooms.
Ooh, I see.
These mushrooms were just like amazing. So next level. Yeah. And it was a comfort. And that might not be
I
the
love
best.
Such a good mushroomy, you know, dish.
Oh man, I loved it. And and the beef was just like, you know, marinated and cooked properly for this stroganoff. The noodles were really, really good and stuff. But it was kind of funny because I was in Romania and I had Russian food.
Yeah.
It might be one of the best things I ever had, though.
That's hilarious. Oh, man. For me, it's kind of hard to say because I feel like it's also tied to memories, you know, and like the experience around that thing.
Right.
But I think the first time I traveled internationally was to Thailand when I was 18.
Right.
And I think having that was the first time because it's like growing up, I heard this like, you know, this concept that, oh, the food in X country is going to be way different or more authentic or whatever than the food in the U.S.
Correct.
And so going to Thailand, I was like excited to try actual Thai food that, you know, like that wasn't like Americanized Thai food.
Which is, I assume, was like just 5 points way spicier than the American.
It was way spicier and also like less heavy, like less like thick sauces.
Oh, okay.
More just like a lot more simple. But there are a few dishes that really stood out to me, and some of them were just like because of their simplicity and deliciousness, and other ones were just like, oh, this is really good. But one dish that stood out to me was just like a simple chicken ginger stir fry with rice that we had actually not in Thailand. It was in Laos. It was like a stop on like a boat trip.
Yeah.
When we stayed overnight in this little village on this boat trip. And we just went down to whatever cafe there was. And I got this ginger chicken with rice.
Wait, so you were on the border of Laos?
It was like a trip from Thailand into Laos where we took a boat trip along the Mekong River.
Oh,
it was like a 2-day trip where you stop overnight in a Lao village and then you continue on to Luang Prabang.
Yeah.
So it was and it was like a ginger chicken with rice, and it was
Ginger done differently?
Or it was cut into like little tiny strips.
Okay.
And it was just like it was very simple, and I think that's something that I liked about having food there was like this is something where it's like, you know, you go to a restaurant here, you're expecting it to be like lots of flavor and very, you know,
right,
like rich.
You're
and
always kind of getting this Michelin, and, you know,
yeah, like people, because that's like what people expect when they go out to eat. So just having just like a very simple dish that was still very flavorful and the ingredients being really fresh. And I think that's the other thing too, is just there's certain spices that because you're in that country, they're just like much more like fresh and flavorful and stuff, because you know they're not shipped overseas. It's like you know, they probably pick more.
And everybody's getting things from the local markets, and then just building their restaurant around that and stuff. Which, instead of like, you know, here in the States, we're so accustomed to these giant food distributors that just kind of really kill the love and charm.
Right.
You got to love the food that you're cooking also, you know, so you can kind of notice that, I think, when you're traveling and you go places as well.
Right. Well, we are out of time. Okay. So we have just like a minute left.
Okay. Well, one was a question for Harvey. He's not here to even defend himself or talk about it. So I'm going to move on from that one today. And then here's a quick question from Kevin Williams from Chicago for you, Joseph. It says, Joseph, I love your show. And Tyson is funny, but sometimes I notice he's a little prickly. Does he just not get enough sleep or what?
I'm not going to answer that question today. I'm going to table that question for a different time.
You're not going to answer it. You know, I mean, if I have to defend myself, yes, I'm not a morning person. I think
I don't have time to get into this with Tyson, because we are really out of time. We have to sign off now.
Yeah, so, you know, take it as it is.
We'll argue on our next episode.
Yeah, we can.
All right. This has been Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Joseph, and I'm here with Tyson. And today we've been talking about Amapiano, the house music out of South Africa. And anyway, thank you so much again, and signing off.
Signing off. Until next time. Get your comments in, and we'll talk to you next week as well.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.